This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Two Robbies podcast. We will discuss the latest results in the EFL Cup, but we open the show today with heavy hearts after the tragic plane crash in Colombia took the lives of 71 of the 77 passengers on board, including the majority of the players and staff of Brazilian football team Chapecoense, who are en route to compete in the first leg of the Copa Sudamericana final. Our thoughts are with the victims and their families during this terribly difficult time. Okay, my friend Robbie Earle, Robbie Musto here. We will talk about the EFL Cup quarterfinals played this midweek. And let's start at Old Trafford again, Manchester United meeting West Ham, but much better performance, much better result. The goals are starting to fly now for United. I have to say, Rob, just at the top of this, I like the team. I like the shape of the team. I like Mkhitaryan on the right-hand side. I like Martial, got himself a couple of goals. Yeah. Wayne Rooney has rebounded from all his troubles and difficult time with a good performance in behind Big Zlatan, who was just as good as we know he is. I thought it was a strong start, a very quick opening to the game. The goals started early and just a team, Rob, that we know has struggled for wins, but it doesn't look like that. The confidence seems good. The fans are behind the team. It's almost a feeling that the goals and the wins are going to come. And I got to say, I was very impressed with Manchester United tonight.
Yeah, to be honest, Rob, I just thought it was exactly what this football team needed at this time. It was one of those things where, you know, having got the first goal and then, you know, an unfamiliar David De Gea mistake allows Fletcher to equalise. And I thought, oh, is it here we go again? Like United having loads of chances but not being able to see it off. But in the end, I thought their football was good. I thought at times their counter-attack, their direct style of play was excellent. The goals came with the people you'd want them to come by. Zlatan getting his and Martial getting, you know, an important goal for him, and I think in terms of his confidence and his standing at the football club. And I tell you what else felt right, Rob, tonight. I thought the crowd felt right. I thought the atmosphere in the stadium sounded like the fans were up for it. They realised this was an important game for Manchester United. I'm drawn with West Ham at midweek, go to Everton at the weekend. And this is a competition that, you know, we've said certain teams can afford to maybe get out this and it's not sort of senior in their thoughts. I think for Manchester United, this is a very, very important competition.
You know what? I looked at the team, Rob, and the way that they started, and it's a question that I think is the question at the moment about United's kind of struggles and why they're not near the top. Is it the manager and his underperforming with this squad, or is it the squad? Actually, when you take out the likes of Pogba and Big Zlatan, you know, a few aging players and Rooney and Carrick, and is Herrera really a top-level player and other, you know, Valencia right-back and a few other issues? And I looked at the game and I thought, you know what? No. This is a really good squad of players. You know, I picked Manchester United on the back of Mourinho going there with his winning mentality and signing the players that he signed. I looked at this squad and thought, wow, with grinding mental toughness that will come from the coach, this team can win the league. And they've had a really disappointing first 12, 13 games or whatever it is. Yeah. But it is a good squad, isn't it, Rob? Am I wrong?
I'm not quite so much on the really good squad that I think going toe-to-toe with Chelsea, going toe-to-toe with Arsenal, going toe-to-toe with Manchester City, I don't think they're quite at the level of it. I look at the start of the season, and I know you were a little bit stronger on thinking that this group with Jose Mourinho and what he's done in this league is enough to take them close. I have to admit, wasn't too sure. I just look and I think, I still got question marks, Rob. I'm still not sure they've got a back two. I'm not sure they've got a back two that are good enough to win you a title. The balance in midfield has looked okay at times, but I don't think we've seen it on a consistent basis. Now, is Mkhitaryan part of that? Is Herrera part of that? How does Pogba play? Does Marouane Fellaini start? I'm still not sure, Rob, in terms of that. And yes, Latan got an important couple of goals today. Martial got a couple of goals, which will do both of them no harm. Is there enough goals in the team? Is there enough pace from that front, guys? If Rashford doesn't quite play or his development comes, Martial, we've seen a little dip in his form. Yeah, they did look good, Robin. And I thought the atmosphere was right. I thought the pace of the game, some of the direct play and the counter-attack play was excellent. And it's a Manchester United who've created chances. The other thing I think we miss a little bit with Manchester United, and we talked about their form being a bit up and down. They've always created chances in games. They just haven't put those chances away.
Yeah, yeah, and that, I mean, the United fans and Jose Mourinho will say, yes, we haven't been as strong at the back as my teams normally are, but we have created chances. And I think that's what's stopped me from really going in heavy on Man United, Rob, because, you know, creating chance, if a team is drawing games 0-0, 1-1, and not creating many opportunities, that's a big concern. But to be fair, they have created opportunities, and today, you know, the goals started going in, and that's what they want on a regular basis. I do agree with you, mate. I think you're right. I think the central defensive situation still isn't nice, isn't ideal, doesn't feel really good, though I think Eric Bailly has been excellent, and he's back soon. The midfield too, the central midfield too. Let's quickly talk about those players in there, because I think, you know, the goal that they conceded today, you know, he skipped by, I can't remember it was now, that skipped through the midfield, he skipped round under Herrera. Carrick's not mobile enough to make a difference. I know Pogba's going to be the main guy in there. Do they need somebody else, Rob? Or between Schneiderlin and Herrera and Carrick and others and Fellaini, have they got that other player to play with him, or do they need somebody new?
I still think they need somebody, Rob, and I think it might be a matter of exchanging one or two with Fellaini, whether obviously Schweinsteiger, Schneiderlin, players who have been on the periphery, not quite been able to nail the players down. If you have to go and swap two or three or get two or three of those off the salary and bring in your defensive midfield player who can go and break up attacks, who can start the playoff, who can build things up and create a momentum from the midfield. Just have that athleticism and dynamism that they lack a little bit, Rob. They haven't got that player. And if you're relying on Paul Pogba to do that, you take away such a big part of his game that he can do in the attacking third of the pitch. So I just think Jose's got a bit of work to do. But I was also interested, we didn't see any shots of him today. I don't know if he was at the ground, whether he was watching where he was. But I just thought today, you know, I remember going back to the Chelsea days when he first came in the football club, and I was obviously working in the media in and around London, so went to watch Chelsea whenever I could, went to listen to his press conferences and all that, and I always remember how driven he was to win the League Cup as his first trophy as Chelsea manager. He talked about the ability to get a trophy nailed by February that would set them up for the right kind of form to win the league. And he was absolutely right about it. And I just get the sense he's got that same serious head about this competition. I think he wants to at least say, regardless of the development, regardless of we've not quite been good enough to win leagues, I still win another trophy. I'm building something here. And that's Jose. He likes to tell you how much silverware he's won. And I think this one's quite important to him in his first year as Manchester United manager.
Just a quick line on Luke Shaw. I haven't seen any reports of any injury. I've had a quick look around.
Half-time,
Yeah, half-time situation. I'll tell you what he did do, Rob, is a couple of times he gave the ball away was on his way forward, and he got caught out of position, out of the game. The ball got switched to the player on his flank who crossed it in, and I'm thinking... Mourinho's not going to like that.
No, he doesn't
even
like
though
that.
It wasn't an awfully bad pass, but it's just... He wants, I think, Luke Shaw to be much more reliable in possession and be careful when you go forward. Because, you know, I wasn't actually surprised. Unless he's got some kind of injury that we don't know about yet. It's not been reported. Again, it's Luke Shaw is going to have to change his game a little bit or certainly be mentally tough now to handle a little bit of fierce criticism from his manager.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Rob. And again, I go back to the Chelsea time. And I remember him being in a press conference and talking about Glenn Johnson, who'd signed from West Ham. I think Ranieri bought him in for big money. And Jose sold him, and people were a little bit surprised. And I get the sense that he looks at his defenders and he wants a certain thing. And I remember him saying about Glenn Johnson, he said, he's a lovely guy, trains well, good in the dressing room. But he said, in and around the penalty box, he spends too much time on his backside and you can't quite trust him. In the way that he might just give you a free kick against that hurts you, or a foul or a penalty kick. And I just get the sense with Luke Shaw, there's something that Mourinho's seen in his game. Maybe that wanting to get on that front foot and get forward and go and support the attack before we show everything's tight and right at home. And whether this is lessons learned, whether it's a personality thing between the two that needs working out, I'm with you. I just feel as though somewhere along the line, Luke Shaw's going to maybe have to subdue his game a little bit in terms of his attacking to make sure his defensive side of the game's right to be on the right side of Jose Mourinho. And just talking about that, just players, Rob, before we move on from United, one player who's going to miss the game at the weekend now, returning back to Everton, he's going to be hugely disappointed in that, is Wayne Rooney. Picked up his fifth yellow card accumulation now, so he misses one game. That's going to be the Everton return next week. He'll be back for the Spurs game. That's a big loss for United, for Rooney going back to Everton. And Rooney being in a bit of form, I thought he played quite well tonight.
Yeah, played well tonight. I mean, he didn't start the last league game, so you know, I'm not sure whether he was started there, but certainly it's a loss. Just finally on United, mate. I mean, I'm just interested in your take on a few kind of who'd you pick. So we saw Mkhitaryan on the right hand side today. Yeah. Would you start at Everton on Sunday, Mkhitaryan or Mata? That's the first one for you.
It's a good question. I would probably start with Juan Mata. Okay. But I would find a spot for Mkhitaryan, by the way.
Oh, would you? So I'd switch it to the other side because I thought the front four looked really good for United.
Yeah, they did.
Now,
yeah.
Martial get two goals. No, you're going to stick with Martial against Everton, or are you going to put in either Rashford, Lingard, or Mkhitaryan? Another tough one for you, mate.
Yeah, right now I might go Mkhitaryan.
Okay. So I would stick with Mkhitaryan on the right, and I would stick with Martial. I think he's got.
Now Rooney's not playing. You remember you can Mata centrally.
Yeah.
Get Mkhitaryan right and Martial on left, and would probably be my way out. In all honesty.
Okay, so there's our how we're going to do the so midfield two. Robbie Earl, Paul Pogba comes back in. Who are you playing him with? Herrera, Carrick, Schneiderlin?
Herrera and Pogba. Another game for Matt Carrick, just on his legs and whatever. He sits on the bench.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I just wondered that. I mean, it's just like, I looked at the team, Rob, and I thought, this is a strong team. And I flipped over my notes to what started in the last game, and there's a lot of changes with Lingard and Mata and Rashford and Pogba, you know, and Darmian. It's just, he's just still trying, I think, to get that best team that gets a run of results that then he sticks with it week in, week out.
But don't you think as well, Robin, without labouring the point, just in terms of, I look at Leicester last season and we know that it was fantastic in the fairy tale that. But we always talked about those relationships down the centre of the pitch, Huth and Morgan. We talked about Conte and Drinkwater. We talked about Okazaki and Vardy or Joe and Vardy. And there were, sometimes it's not just the individuals, it's about how the relationships work and who plays best with who. Now, there might be a stage where actually Carrick and Pogba's better than Herrera and Pogba. Now, it sometimes in a straight 1v1, Herrera might come ahead of Carrick. But sometimes just because of the relationships, because of the experience, because of how the two play together. So I think that's something that Jose's still got to find out as well, about what are the best relationships.
What about talking about that following on, mate? Because I like that. And again, I know West Ham are struggling. I know, you know, maybe they weren't, that they didn't go full out for the League Cup. But I thought the combination link-up play between Zlatan, Ibrahimovic, Wayne Rooney and Mkhitaryan with the backheels and the picks.
It
was really good. Martial, I'd be tempted. I know Rooney can't play, but that was a good-looking front four.
Yeah, it was smart, it was direct, it looked lively. Mkhitaryan's just got that little bit of extra quality. He's a lovely, kind of intelligent player, knows where his teammates are. I agree, sometimes you drop on something and then it's maybe like, leave it for three or four games. Let's see how this develops. So, interesting times in the game. That's a disappointment. Wayne Rooney now will miss the game at the weekend, whether he would have started or not, who knows. But, you know, it's another important game for United. I mean, make sure they got through to the semi-final. Have to make sure they keep that gap at the top of the league no bigger than the 11 points.
Yes, and just to give everybody the semi-final draw, Manchester United will play Hull and Southampton will play Liverpool. So the potential there, of course, for that huge rivalry of a League Cup final of Man United versus Liverpool. But go on to Liverpool, their game from Tuesday. And I got to say, you know, Liverpool won 2-0 and, you know, we'll talk about it. But the first thing I want to talk about, Robbie, is what? What do you think I want to talk about?
Leeds United.
Yes.
Leeds United. I've got the same thing. We're spending far too much time together. Yeah. The first thing I've got on my thing, on my list is how much we miss Leeds in the Premier League, Rob.
Absolutely.
It's a great football club that deserves to be back. It deserves to be there. Would add something to the Premier League. You know, Leeds versus Tottenham, Leeds versus Man U, Leeds versus Everton. They're all big games, you know, at Allen Road. We both play there. We both know what it's like to those set of Leeds fans. And, you know, I'm hoping Gary Monk's got the team in fifth place at the moment. And I thought they gave a good account of themselves yesterday. Got beaten by the better team with more quality. No embarrassment in that. But I hope that Gary Monk can at least get them into the playoffs and Leeds have a chance at getting back in the league, because that will certainly bring a character and a personality into the Premier League if they come there.
I mean, you're right. I mean, I just spent the time just listening to the Leeds fans. I mean, I know this is kind of this was a huge game and it's a little bit of a taste of what it used to be like. But Leeds, even the songs that they sing, Rob, it's all about, they're confident. They have a swagger about them. They don't mind going toe to toe in terms of chanting and passion from the fans with any club in England. And I just thought it was fantastic, and I echo what you say there. They've got to come back. They've got to get back in the Premier League. It makes it so much stronger. They're a big, big club with incredible support. And on the team, and by the way, I thought they played quite well. I know they got well beaten or whatever, but yeah, some good young players. And Liverpool mixed it up, you know, loads of changes, a lot of young players playing. I thought Trent Alexander-Arnold at right back, 18-year-old Robbie Earl.
Very nice.
Match for me. I thought he had a really good match amongst other good young players for Liverpool.
Yeah, and you know, in the end, we expected Liverpool to do it. As Jurgen Klopp said, they weren't scintillating, but they got their job done. Didn't have too many kind of dramas from their point of view, although Leeds had a little spell where you thought they may get themselves a goal. But it was more than this for me, Rob. It was about, like, this Liverpool Football Club. And again, I think this is an important competition for Jurgen Klopp in so much as I think Jurgen Klopp would love to have his first trophy. And, you know, as well as Brendan Rodgers did, Brendan didn't quite land a trophy. You know, had a great run in the league, just fell short, didn't win a trophy. So for all that, you know, he'll be talking to his grandkids about one day he was the manager of Liverpool. He never won a bit of silverware. I think Jurgen Klopp wants to land this first piece of silverware. So when the cop are singing his name and when the flags are flying, there's a Jurgen Klopp and there's at least one trophy underneath that head of his to prove that he's been a winner. But beyond that, Rob, I just quickly want to talk about, I just feel that this football club, I kind of was trying to work out, okay, Liverpool a bit of a flavour of the month in some degrees. I was trying to work out what it is. And in my own list, I look at kind of the style of football that's being played and the results that the team are getting. You'd have to agree that Liverpool, apart from the Burnley loss this season, have been outstanding. I look at the signings that are brought into the football club and how they develop and mature. And on the whole, yes, I think there's still some that have got a bit to prove. But on the whole, you get the sense that the environment's right at the football club. There must be a good camaraderie in the team, because players look like they get on, they enjoy themselves. I saw the way that James Milner was so delighted that young Woodburn scored his goal. I mean, those are just little things to me, Bob. Then I look at the expectations and demands of the football club. Yes, Liverpool want to get back to where they were. Are they realistic with this guy? I think in time, yes. I'm one of those. I'm not quite so sure now. But the other thing that sets it out is a top club, Rob, and it's something that we've just said, is a development of young talent. And I think a club's not quite right, and I don't want to sort of knock Chelsea because they've had the money and bought players in, but I think the one thing that Chelsea lacked when they were winning things was one of their own as part of that group. One of their own who's come through the youth ranks. A bit like Harry Kane is for Spurs, and United have had in the past. And Liverpool have had in the past, you know, we can name, you know, from Owen to Fowler's to Gerrard's, and the list continues. Liverpool have got that. And I just think that to me means in standing, Rob, they're a proper rounded football club. Now, they've got to go on. They've got to prove they can be top four. They've got to prove they can win titles. They've got to get back into Europe to start being, you know, relevant in the biggest stage. But all the things that you'd want in place, I think, you're starting to see at this football club with Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I think we're thinking the same things. I looked at that game, Rob, and there's so many changes. I mean, all the young players playing. And yet, it's like the first team style and atmosphere and chemistry and, I don't know, togetherness. It was exactly the same. Slapping the ball around. Good movement, good passing, you know, the ball skipping over the turf, the fans enjoying the football. So even though the players were different, the vibe is, if you, you know, like you're saying, the vibe felt really strong. Yeah. And of course, it's all down to Jurgen Klopp. And I know Mourinho's been successful, and we know that he does it in a different way, in a way that's more of a mean kind of taskmaster, and I'm the boss here, and you will. Everybody does it differently, but I got to say, it's just a joy to watch Liverpool at the moment, whoever's playing. And you're right. Yeah. I mean, Origi comes, you know, Origi's been kicked out of the team, really. He's been left out. It's not easy. No sign of a sulk. He gets his goal. Yeah. He's only 21, by the way, Divock Origi. So, you know, we talk about the other young players. Kevin Stewart, 23. Yeah. Ajari at 19. There's other young players in the team. But, and of course, we've got to talk about Ben Woodburn. My goodness, 17 years and 45 days. Youngest ever score for Liverpool Football Club. Another great example, my friend.
Yeah, and a young Welsh player who apparently is part of Chris Coleman's plans going forward. And it's a little bit like Liverpool of old, Rob, where they used to have good Welsh players. I mean, Ian Rush, none better than him. They'd have Scottish players. We've known Stevie Nicol, who's a good friend of ours. They'd have, you know, players from Irish players, of Ronnie Whelan's. They had homegrown British-based players, as well as bringing in, you know, good stars from around the world. And we're just getting back to a little bit of that old style of Liverpool. But, you know, we're 13 games into a season. There's lots of promise. There's lots of optimism. But there's still a lot of work to do for Jurgen Klopp. He's still got to, you know, land some trophies. He's still got to be top four. They've still got to make the relevant steps to being, because all the other clubs are growing and are bigger, chucking money at it and improving along the way.
Yeah, and let's just get a bit of a reality check here. Philippe Coutinho, probably going to be out till the middle of January. Sadio Mane has been fantastic signing for them, is going to be gone for the majority of January for the African Cup of Nations. Mm. Adam Lallana picked up an injury. Now, I would say they are three of the, if not the most creative players in the team. With difficult fixtures, as always, coming up for Liverpool. How much a loss is Coutinho, Robbie Earl? And is he going to really derail them over the next two or three weeks?
It's a huge loss, but I think in the way this team play, Rob, I think the development of Emre Can has been good over the last few weeks. Divock Origi, as you say, has come in and shown well. There's going to be a point when Daniel Sturridge is fit. I know he's had this bit of a calf strain. He's coming back in the team. The team are going to need him to be firing it and maintaining the levels that they've shown. A little bit of pressure on one or two of those kind of guys who've come in. But I think what we've seen with Jurgen Klopp's team is that it's been interchangeable, Rob. At times people have come in and they haven't particularly missed as much of a beat as we've thought. You talked about the three players that are all huge. Mane is going to be a huge loss for African Cup of Nations with his running and intelligence. But they have got players who can come in. There is a bit of a feel at the football club at the moment that, you know, they can work out. He could even change the shape if need be, Rob. He's got, you know, some good midfield players in the team. James Milner has to come back in the midfield and play Moreno at left back. Could happen. So I think Jurgen Klopp's disappointed. But I never get the sense with this guy, like, you think, you know, he's reliant on any one individual to make this group. I think it's more about the group, the style of play, people coming in and wanting to kind of maintain the standard is where we're at.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they go without Coutinho now for the next couple of weeks. It's also going to be fascinating, if you don't mind. Let's move on to the Gunners. to Arsenal. Yeah. They're out. They're out of the EFL Cup at the quarter-final stage. It was a home game against Southampton. Not easy, but an opportunity after a home game to get into the semi-finals of a domestic cup competition. Now, 10 changes to the Arsenal starting lineup, Robbie. Let's just stop there. I mean, and I know other teams have switched. I know Liverpool changed as well. But considering that I know the Champions League has one more match day, you know, to play, and it looks unlikely they can get the first place finish in the group.
Are you
in any way disappointed with Arsene Wenger that he made so many changes in the quarterfinal?
I think it's one of them damned if you, damned if you don't. I think if he plays some of the inverted commas first team players and picks up an injury that we know Arsenal fans players tend to pick up, I think he gets criticised, I think he gets hammered. So I think, okay, he goes with his, inverted commas, B team. But maybe what it showed is, to me, my takeaway from the game was some of these B team players are not on form, current form that he would like. Are they good enough to come into his team if they were struggling to play? The other thing I just think the whole sort of feel of tonight was the mentality is... Southampton, a very credible team in the Premier League, difficult to play against, as we've seen at the weekend, and against Everton. And unless you treat them with respect and treat them right, this team can put you away, as they've shown tonight at the Emirates. Now, I look at this Arsenal team, and I just think mentally, it's difficult, Rob, when you go in as the second string in the team, and you're kind of getting a sense that this isn't that important.
But Liverpool's made a lot of changes.
It's a whole different atmosphere there, Rob. It's a whole, you know, I was watching, live tweets to the game, and people are saying how quiet it was, how slow the build up is with Arsenal. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth in terms of how Liverpool play. You know, I thought how Manchester United went about the game tonight, albeit we're a stronger team. But I just think sometimes those things are set, Rob, by, you know, the 10 changes, by the players who are in the team. It's almost like it's not a priority. Now, I've got to be honest, and let me put my words out pretty plainly. I don't think this competition that Arsenal needed to win anyway. I think they've won the FA Cup in a couple of years, and people have kind of gone, it's only the FA Cup. Well, if it's only the FA Cup and this is only the League Cup, two more games in January and a final in February, whenever it is, I don't think is games they need. I think they've got enough going on with concentrating on the Premier League, concentrating in the Champions League. The FA Cup will kick in early January anyway. You talk about durability. They're not the most durable team, this team. They pick up knocks, they pick up strains. Do you know what? I wouldn't want them to lose, Robin. It's not that you're happy if you're an Arsenal fan, because I think habits are good at football clubs. Keep winning if you're winning. But you know what? Wouldn't lose any too much sleep out.
Yeah, I know we differ on this, mate, and I'm gonna go at it again, because I just think it reinforces a point. What we saw at Liverpool is excitement, is passion, is emotion from a team. Doesn't matter who's in the team. At Man United, again, there's excitement. There's kind of a little bit of passion about this League Cup game, because they've got new managers, new drive, new enthusiasm, new potential beginnings of something special happening at the football clubs. I think there's a sense of staleness with Arsenal. I think, yes, I mean, I don't disagree with what you say totally about the League Cup, but I'm not surprised that the fans are flat and the players are flat, because Arsenal haven't gone for this competition, you know, really with big time players for years. So if you're a fan, or even if you're a player, Robbie Earl, you're like, well, I mean, Wenger, you know, he always makes his changes. He's done it for the last 5, 10, 15 years. And, you know, we don't normally make it through. And that's just the way it is. I just think Arsenal are just lacking that bit of emotional pull or push from a new beginning.
So let's just be straight. You're saying the manager's personality, the way he is, over the period of time, as it affects the situations like games like today?
I think so. Whether it's the fans, the atmosphere.
Interesting.
I just don't see the excitement, Rob, because of other clubs have changed managers. Now, I know it's not the answer to change managers all the time, but you can't deny, mate, and with Chelsea, of course, now, you can't deny I mean, Man City with Pep. You can't deny the drive, the push that a big time, it doesn't have to be a big time new manager brings into a football club. I think Arsenal are at the point, and I thought this, I think it was a year ago that I finally thought, you know what, come on, it's going to change. I think Arsenal are at that point right now. You still disagree?
I do, on the basis that they're 3 points off the top of the table, depending on how things go at the weekend, and that, you know what, they're relevant again. They've been top four for a continual number of seasons. Yes, listen, we both talked about at some point it needs to change. At some point it's a different set of eyes, a different view. But you know what, you can't knock this guy, Robert, for what he's done and where he is. And people are kind of writing him off already. We're 13 games in. They were on this great unbeaten run, and they're 3 points off the top of the table. So let's give me time. Let's wait till later in the season or the end of the season before we give our conclusions as to, you know, whether Arsene Wenger has not quite got what it takes now to maybe excite teams, excite players, and win leagues.
Yeah, I get that, mate. And there's nobody got, you know, it's not that I don't have respect for this club and this manager. I really, really do. I just think that the club would benefit from a new direction. His contract's up at the end of the season, and I guess it'll be all about how he does in the Premier League. Can he go that one step further and win it for the Gunners? We'll have to wait and see. Let's just quickly comment, my friend, on Hull City, the other team that threw to the last four of this competition. they held on. They won a penalty kicks competition against Newcastle United on a day. I've got to say, I didn't see the whole of the game, but I'm hearing that Newcastle played really, really well. But Hull found a way to get through.
Yeah, and, you know, the problem with Hull is they're almost not in a position where if you're mid-table now at this kind of stage of the season, you're into the semi-final of a League Cup. I mean, it's rubbing your hand. You're thinking about Wembley and finals and things. I just think in Hull's position, Rob, they've got three wins all season, 8 defeats, 11 points, sitting in the bottom three as we stand. I just think your focus has got to be, your attention has got to be on the Premier League. We've seen Wigan, a team who, you know, did well in cup competitions, get relegated. This club cannot afford to go down again, because I'm not convinced if they do that they're one of those that could yo-yo back up. And so two more games for them. It's two high-profile games, as we know, the draw now against Manchester United. Games you can enjoy. Mike Phelan playing against his former team, but they're not games that I would take too seriously. You know, Premier League status has got to be their priority, and you don't ever want to go out of competition. You don't want to lose semi-finals, but might not do them any harm to take that away.
Okay, so our last little section on this podcast, Rob. Let's have a quick Gareth Southgate, my old teammate in Middlesbrough, has just been named permanent England manager. First of all, I mean, we're not surprised. I don't think there's any other candidates right now. He's done a good job. He won some important games for the national team. What's your thoughts, Rob? How excited are you for Gareth taking over?
Well, my first thought is, have you had the phone call? I would have thought by now you've been put in the standing room, you're on the backroom stuff. So I'm expecting it's going to be the one Robbie show from now on. But listen, apart from that, mate, I think in all honesty, we both know Gareth. I've known him as a player, worked with him in the media throughout his career. Very studious, very honest, very transparent, understands the game. And I think he was really, Rob, the only strong candidate. I think anywhere else you go, unless we're talking some of the biggest names in world football, and I've got to be honest, I'm not sure that the biggest names in world football are that attracted by the England job at the moment. So in terms of the candidates out there and the names that were being bandied around, I think he certainly was the strong candidate. I think he did enough in his sort of interim period to prove that he can hold his own, very good with the media, did enough in terms of team and working with the players. So I think it was the obvious choice, Robert. I think his backroom staff's going to be interesting. He's talk about Steve Holland from Chelsea. Now, I think Gareth wants him to go full-time, as some people do. They don't believe that he should be able to be part-time with Chelsea, knowing and working with players from other teams and then going back into Chelsea's rank. So that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out and whoever else Gareth brings in. But I think he's the right man. I think it's now about him trying to build something, Rob. And I think what's important is he put some building blocks down, and whatever we say over the 4 years of his time, that he helped to grow this programme. And I think where he should be as focusing as much, and I know it's all about first team, but that under-21 group, Rob, that he's won things with, that some good young talent. I think it's his role to start integrating some of them into the first team. And you know what? If for a tournament, if for one tournament, it's not as good as it should be, or for part of qualification, well, you get experienced players through, you get a good young group of players who you can build. A little bit of that spirit we're talking about that Klopp's built, that Conte's built, that Mourinho has built in the past. When you get a group of players together, I think that's as big a role as it has as going to tournaments. And I don't know, what do we do? Get to quarterfinal stages and go out. Well, come, you know, it's a chance to maybe go with a younger group and say, let's build for the future.
Yeah, and I hope he does that. And I'd love to see younger players more involved. But of course, when the big tournaments come around, there'll be an expectation that I think England fans, Rob, expect England to get to quarterfinals, don't they? Mm. I think that's where you expect is probably about par for the course. Anything less than quarterfinals is disappointing. Quarterfinals and further on, obviously, is fantastic. I mean, yeah, I mean, just on what I know with him, I roomed with him for 1 year we had together at Middlesbrough. And just an intelligent guy. A very mentally strong, very, very guy, a very, very good guy as well. And I think what people maybe don't know about him is the passion that he's got inside. He's actually a very passionate guy. And I remember his time as Middlesbrough manager. When the winner game at home, it was a good win, everybody would go down the tunnel. And then he did this as a captain as well. He'd run back out again on his own in the pitch and just kind of rev the fans up for one last hoorah. It was kind of weird. But I tell you, he is, and even when you see the goals going in for England, he feels it. And I think that's really important. And I just think, you know, his limited kind of club management career is what would raise eyebrows, I should imagine, of other people around the world. But as you said, working with under-21s, having that connection between that team and then the first team, being a very good talker, being good with the media, and you're right, very open and transparent. We've seen that with the Wayne Rooney situation of dropping him and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think he was the right man. I really hope he enjoys the role and does well, because as we've seen so many times before, this job often gets ugly with the critique and the you know, through the press, etc. So I hope that doesn't happen. Yeah. And of course, we both want to wish him all the very best.
Yeah, no doubt. He's a good guy. Let's hope he can do a good job. And that's it, mate, for our midweek League Cup quarterfinal special, where Liverpool won, Manchester United won, and they both miss each other at the semi-final stage of competition. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to join us on Monday for another Premier League podcast, when we'll review the big game of the weekend as league leaders Chelsea travel to the Etihad to face Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. That's a real clash of the Titans. And then we've got the small match of games like West Ham and Arsenal and Everton v Manchester United. They're not too shabby either. And if you can't make it till Monday, then you can get your footy fix on Saturday. Remember, the Two Robbies football show airs 5 p.m. Eastern Time each and every Premier League Saturday on NBC Sports Radio. So from me, Robbie Earl, I'm him, Robbie Musto. It's bye for now.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... the charcoal mask, great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice, I am so sorry, I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule, I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.